Christian, greetings to the saints at Lakeview, Canada. Blessing, privilege to be here, and have enjoyed the time here thus far, and specifically enjoy the beautiful fall weather. It seems like fall is in its beginning stages, but we enjoy the changing seasons and enjoy some of the blessings that come with it. For a message this morning, you can turn with me to Mark chapter 8. I was impressed in our Sunday school discussion with the privilege it is to serve a God who is a God of rest. I believe that there are many gods that we can serve that never bring us rest, bring us soul rest, spiritual rest, or eternal rest. Rest is not a part of what they bless us with or curse us with, I should say. But God is a God that blesses us with rest. I assume you're in Mark chapter 8. We're going to read Mark chapter 8, verse 31 to the end of the chapter. Jesus here is teaching. He's teaching about some of the future events of his life and also some teaching for his disciples and also for us today. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Here Jesus is talking about the things that he would face very shortly in his earth journey. And he took the opportunity to teach his disciples some things that they would need to know if they would successfully follow him. And I especially would like to lift out the sentence in verse 37, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I believe that Jesus references this word exchange, and it's something that we do day by day, but not maybe in the same way that they did years ago. Years ago, they bartered. They had their exchanges, and maybe even here in the Northeast many years ago, a trapper would roam these hills and rivers and trap, and at the end of the trapping season, he would have a stack of furs, and then he would go down to the trading post, and I'm not sure where the closest one would have been, and he would take that stack of furs, and he would give them to receive whatever he needed. Maybe he needed more traps. Maybe he needed nails. A lot of things they didn't have. But in an exchange, there are two parts in exchange. That which is given for that which is received. And so you have the two different parts. And I would like to think for a message title of Life, the Great Exchange. Life, the Great Exchange. Jesus here teaches us that every man has an opportunity to make an exchange. It says, for what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And I believe that soul means eternal life. What would you be willing to give to have eternal life? What kind of value would you put on that? Or what would you be willing to receive, to enjoy for life here on earth, to give up eternal life, to lose your soul. Oftentimes we get wrapped up in the daily events of life and we forget about the big picture of life, where we're going, what we're doing with our life. I think sometimes it's just good for us to sit and think about, what am I really doing with my life? Some of those times come maybe standing by the casket of a friend. I think that's where this burden for this message was born. Some of you would remember Gerald Seibel. He had a daughter that died. I believe she was 12 years old, but very young. Standing beside her casket, you just had to think about how short her life was, you know, and that's what she had here on earth. And you and I don't know how many days we will give, but we too enter in this exchange, just a few short years. A few short years. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? We have that which is given for that which is received. The purpose of this message is to remind us that we are giving our lives in exchange for something that will affect our experience for eternity and to help us make the best exchange possible with our lives. I would like to draw a few truths out of this passage, truths of life's great exchange. First, in verse 35, we have the truth that what I have, I cannot keep. What I have, I cannot keep. That's one of the truths of an exchange. You have to give up what you have to be able to receive. What I have, I cannot keep. We can go down the list. You know, everything that we have, we could start with our possessions. 1 Timothy 6:7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. We will give up everything that we possess today. You know, everything we have either is going to wear out, and they do so rapidly, things wear out, or we're going to let it behind. That is certain. We could also talk about our money. I believe the Proverbs talks about money making itself wings. Either it's going to make itself wings, it's going to disappear somewhere, or we will leave it all behind. Our earth life. 1 Peter 1:24 says, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. For the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. You know, we have our glory, our little season, but for it is appointed unto man once to die. Look at that verse a little later. Our earth life, our earthly glory. You know, the beauty of youth will fade. And someday, young man, you'll look into the mirror, or young lady, and say, where did that old person come from? Seems like a strange idea right now, but that's what happens. We lay our earthly glory down, and those are just a few of the things that I cannot keep. I cannot keep them. Secondly, here we see in verse 35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's the same shall save it. It teaches us here that if I seek for myself, I will lose. If I seek for myself, I will lose. Selfish people are the biggest losers. This doesn't really make sense to us because each of us really believe in our hearts, our old carnal man, that nobody else is going to look out for us. And so if I want something, I have to assert myself and get something. It's just in us. That's the way we think. And there's ways that that's true, but Jesus said it for eternal life, that if you seek to live the best life on earth and to experience everything in the end, you're going to lose. And I believe that even our experience here on earth will be hampered if that's our goal. We will not have the fullest, richest life if we're living our lives for ourselves. And yet this concept really does not make sense to you or I, that if I seek for myself, I will lose, but it is true. Thirdly, Thirdly, if I give what I cannot keep to God, I will gain what I cannot lose. It's also out of verse 35. If I give what I cannot keep to God, I will gain what I cannot lose. And this is an almost unfathomable trade. When you think about the principle for an exchange is that you give and receive something equal, right? Okay? Everyone was concerned that you would give and receive that which was equal. You don't want to give more than you receive. You don't want to receive more than what you give, at least to make it a fair trade. But God has given us the opportunity for an unfathomable trade. How is it that we could give our limited, few short years, very few, of temporal earth life for eternity with God in all of its splendor and glory forever and ever and ever? How can we give something temporal for something eternal? How is that equal? Well, we know it's not. It's not equal at all. It is an unfathomable trade that God would give us this opportunity. 1 Peter 5:4 says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Today there are some people that have glory, earthly glory, but that will fade. But there is a day when you can receive glory that will never fade. Are you ready to trade the fading glory of life for the eternal glory that will never fade? Are you ready to make that exchange? Fourthly, the earth life exchange is a once and done opportunity. The earth life exchange is a once and done opportunity. Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And that's what makes this so sobering. You know, every day we live today, and if you're not happy with how today is, just wait for tomorrow. You'll have another opportunity tomorrow. And usually if things are bad today, they'll be better tomorrow. And if they're bad today, or if they're good today, it's a good chance they'll be worse tomorrow. It's just the ebb and flow of life. You can kind of count on it. It goes up and down. But eternity is not that way. The tomorrow of eternity is forever. And where we will be is where we will be. Is appointed unto man once to die. It is a once and done opportunity. We cannot agree with our Hindu friends who believe in reincarnation and that you go exit this life and depending how you live, you come back as some other form. You know, if you were bad, maybe it's a rat, or if you were good, maybe it's something better. I don't know exactly how they figure out what you will be. We cannot agree with that. It's not what the Bible teaches us. We don't have endless opportunities to come back to life on earth. No, it's a one time through. We also mentioned the fact, fifthly, that the earth life exchange is for eternity. It's for eternity. Never ending. It's for eternity. Sixthly, in the moment, the earth life exchange does not make sense. It really doesn't. You know, from this side, there's many things about the exchange and how we give or receive of our lives. It doesn't make sense. There's aspects of it that we cannot explain from the carnal man. But seventhly, eternity puts the earth life exchange in a new perspective. And I believe that God is trying to open that to us this morning. He's trying to teach us. Just like we talked about the soul rest and how that we can't seek that in itself. There has to be a laboring and a serving that will bring about that end. I think that's just one aspect of our focus here this morning in this message as well. I would like to go back through the Old Testament for the second part of this message and look at Old Testament examples whose earthly exchange cost them their life. First of all, of course, go back to Genesis chapter 3 with me. These are common. This is a common account, a familiar account and verses here. And I would like for you to think about each of these situations. Put yourself where these people were. And first of all, we want to look at what did they see? What did they think they were getting? And then, of course, what they got. And I believe that some of the truths that we talked about are expressed in these verses. One of them being, if I seek for myself, I will lose. There's many lies about Satan's temptations. What they thought they were getting and what they actually got were very different. Genesis 3, verse 3, kind of breaking into the middle here. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know in the day ye eat thereof. Then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And then we have the results. And we know the story. We're not going to take the time to read it. How they fled from God. They didn't want to be in his presence. Why? Because they were guilty. And at the end of this chapter, you'll read some of the results, and one of them being verse 24. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life, to keep them away from this. And because of this sin, we know that they died. And so, number one, Adam and Eve exchanged their lives for the forbidden fruit. For the forbidden fruit. And in the end, this decision cost them their life. No, it wasn't immediate, but it was a very slow, gradual death. And it is the death that we still are experiencing today because of this choice. Secondly, Joshua 7. It's interesting how that in the course of a service, Achan was actually already mentioned this morning, but I believe he is a biblical example of someone that made a very poor exchange. And it cost him his life. You can picture this young man, Achan. I guess he was a young man. This man, Achan. You can put yourself in this situation with him. And it's a sad story. Do you read this account? We're going to read Joshua 7, verses 20 through 26. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent. And behold, it was hid in his tent and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver in the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. After that, they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. What a sad story. But we see here that Achan exchanged his life for the Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold. I understand the Babylonish garment was of considerable value, and there's disagreements on what it might have been. Some feel like it was a gold-covered or maybe accented garment. Some thought it was dyed dark purple and rich, very rich in color. But either way, it was considered to be very, very valuable. It was a very valuable garment. And of course, we know that this money was very valuable. There was a lot you could do with it. And I just had to wonder, what about you and I today? Are we exchanging our life for the Babylonish? You know, we, of course, Babylonish don't necessarily have a connection there, but the American, the fashions out of Hollywood, I think would be of equal, something we could equal it to. Have I defiled myself with a Babylonish garment? What's hanging in my closet? You know, this garment would associate him with an ungodly people. They were called to say no to this type of attire. And Achan made that exchange. What about you and I? Do we want to make the same exchange with our lives? I trust not. May we think seriously about our choices and the options in America today, that we don't sell our lives for the Babylonish garment. In Numbers 21, you can turn with me there, we have another story of another group of people who also made their exchange. Numbers 21, verse 5. And this one comes close home as well. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. The children of Israel exchanged their lives for complaining. I don't know how you feel about life from day to day. The weather, the amount of precipitation, the job that you're called to do, but many times we find ourselves complaining. It's too hot, and then it's too cold. It's too dry, or then it's too wet. Are we truly thankful for what God has given to us? The children of Israel were not, and it cost them their lives. Today, complaining still costs us. And if we are a complaining person, I really believe it will cost us our spiritual life, because the Bible says one of the qualities of those that God eventually turns into hell are those who are not thankful, those who are unthankful. Fourthly, 1 Samuel 15, I don't think we're going to take the time to read that passage. But we have the story of Saul. God had instructed him to utterly destroy the Amalekites and everything that they had. But they saved the best. And so we see that Saul exchanged his place as king and his life for the cattle and spoils of the Amalekites, which I will just simply call compromise. He exchanged his life for compromise. He knew what he should do, and yet he wasn't willing to do it. In 2 Samuel 14, I think I will just read one verse from 2 Samuel 14. We have the story of Absalom. Verse 25, "But in all Israel there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him." It goes on to talk about the glory and amount of his hair. But we see that he got caught up in this thing of who he was and his own glory. And eventually he revolted against his father David and tried to take the kingdom. And in the end, he exchanged his life for this pursuit. I simply have Absalom and his life in this pursuit summarized as Absalom exchanged his life for pride and position. You know, who God blessed him with, you know, what God blessed him with in his looks, it went to his head. And in the end, that took him down a path, and it was a path of destruction. And one day, I don't know if it was because of his hair or not, but because of his choices, he hung, caught in a tree, and his life was over. In Judges 16, we have the story of Samson. We're not going to take time to read that either. But Samson found a beautiful woman. Her name was Delilah. But Delilah was not a daughter of the children of Israel. And this took him down a road that I don't believe was God's intent for his life. It destroyed him by exposing the source of his strength. And Samson exchanged his life for illicit passions. And I believe that even today, this is something that is very much a part of our culture. The availability of illicit passions today, it's on every hand. And it's something that I believe that we need to draw a clear line in our own mind against, just like Joseph did. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? But in the end, I believe that this cost Samson his life. And even today, many a man has been murdered by taking a woman that was not his. Samson exchanged his life for this pursuit. And this pursuit promises so much, but costs so much. And whether or not any of us would go out and commit adultery or fornication, or whether or not we simply take a little bit at a time and allow our minds to feed on immoral thoughts and to look at images and do acts that are not holy before God, to enter into this world of illicit passions, it will consume our soul just the same. Little by little, and in the end, cost us our spiritual life. Samson made that exchange. I need to be careful with this one because he did end up in the book of the faith chapter, Hebrews 11. But I don't really believe that this was the path that God intended for Samson to go down. I don't believe that it was a life of blessing that God intended. Seventhly, we have the story of Judas in Matthew 26. And Judas made his own exchange. I don't know why he made the choice that he did. What did he see? Except, I think we would all agree, he saw the glitter of gold, the glitter of silver. 30 pieces of silver. Judas also exchanged his life for 30 pieces of silver. In Matthew 26, we have the covenant where he entered into the agreement of that, this is what I will do for you. I will trade Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And then he took the steps to do that, to accomplish that purpose. We know the story. But what did that give him in the end? In Matthew 27, verse 5, he took his own life in despair. And I don't believe that this had the desired end. I don't believe that it had what it had promised him. But it did cost him his life, this choice. You can turn with me to Acts chapter 5. For another New Testament example. In Acts chapter 5, verse 1, we'll read this account. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not in thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Ananias and Sapphira exchanged their lives for their reputation. And in this thing of propping up their reputation and who they were trying to portray that they were, they had this terrible thing of a lie. A lie. And I believe it's a temptation for all of us today. We already talked about, at least somewhere in the service, I believe it was mentioned, this thing of hypocrisy. Maybe it was in a song. But there's who we think we are, who we want people to see that we are, and then who we really are. And I believe it's a temptation to each of us. Here in Acts 5, they wanted it to be said that they gave everything. This is who these people are. They are just benevolent givers. They are philanthropists that just give and give and give and give for the needs of other people. Is that who they really were? No. They kept back some of it. And I don't believe that there's wrong in selling something and keeping some and giving some. But I believe that that we need to be honest with ourselves and, of course, honest with others. Exchanged their lives for their reputation. What about your, my reputation? Does it really matter what people think? Or does it truly matter what God thinks? Even while men were impressed, God was not impressed, and he took their lives. Even still today, people are making this great exchange. And I believe that and there's many other people we could look at here in the Bible or today. There's accounts you can read. I believe that the time that I preached this, the Shirksville, there was just several accounts in the newspaper, in the news, of people who had made very foolish exchanges. One was a man, I believe both of these men were drunk, but one was a man that was jeering at an alligator, and he jumped in to swim with it, I think out of mockery to the alligator, but the alligator took his life. There was another man who made the foolish choice to put a firecracker on his head, and in his drunkenness, he set the thing off, and it killed him. And there's many, many, many more. There are many accounts of people who took one more drink and then went out for a drive, or one more whatever, and that was the last. There was the account of a man, someone reminded me again of it this week, a man who said, I know I need to get right with God, but give me one more year. I want to live it up. And in a year, I'm going to give my life to God. In 1 year, I'm going to get right with God because I know I need to. And I don't remember the exact details, the way it was given to me this week. It was said that exactly on that day, God took his life and he made that exchange. I don't know if that's the way it ended or not, but that's the way it was given. And that man gave his exchange. Today, you and I are still in this exchange. We looked at all the negatives here, and I think tonight we're going to look at the positives. I'm thankful that because of one man's greatest exchange, Our lives don't have to end like these did. And so I would like to look for just a little bit at the greatest exchange ever, which was made by God and Jesus for our salvation. Jesus is an example for us in our exchange. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And there we see the exchange. He gave his son, why? To redeem mankind. For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. To give his life a ransom. You know, there is this thing of sin that will bind and destroy in the end. Jesus came to buy back man's soul, to buy back the human race, and he willingly gave his life. That was the exchange. Was that reasonable for him to pay that ransom, to buy back mankind? In many ways, it doesn't seem reasonable. What did he really get? It seems as if he got nothing for himself. But he did it because of his love for us. Jesus gave himself selflessly. If you look back to Mark chapter 8, you realize that that whole concept was a struggle for Peter. He argued with Jesus. Jesus said, I'm going to be rejected, I'm going to be killed, and then I'm going to rise again after all that suffering. And Peter said, no way. This is not going to happen. And Jesus said, get thee behind thee, Satan. Why? Because you savor not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. And I believe that each of us, as we look at this list that we just looked at, of the people who made those choices, I believe that we could connect with those values. There's an inner struggle that each of us has that would do the exact same thing that Achan did, or the exact same thing that Judas did. We could go down this list. Those are all things that we're tempted with. And unfortunately, there's times when we fall and we make those choices. Each day, we have the opportunity to make these choices. The question is, will we continue to make these choices and receive the destruction like each of these people did? Or will we repent? Will we receive the greatest exchange ever, which was made by God and Jesus for us, and make that a personal part of our life, to receive it and to receive freedom from these areas in our lives? Well, as I mentioned, I think that we'll plan to conclude the message tonight. We'll look at the Bible examples who exchanged their life for the crown of eternal life. And I trust that that'll be a little more positive than this morning, which seemed maybe quite negative. But with those thoughts in mind, let's kneel for prayer.